Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Throwback Thursday. Hey, everybody.
It is Tony Throwback Thursday.
It's that time of year.
Once again, we have with us one of our favorite guests on our favorite things. That is the Tony Awards historian, Brian Hobb. Good hello, Brian.
Hello.
Welcome back, pal.
Thank you so much.
We love having Brian here.
Yeah, I love being here. I look forward to this all year.
Brian is a legit Tony Awards historian. Like, he goes and reads the website and figures out all the rules.
And I was like, how do you know the rules? He's like, well, there's a PDF. You can download the PDF and you can... And I thought... I didn't know there was a PDF download and
hashtag nerd.
I love it.
So on this favorite things, we are looking at one of my, I love to play this game.
I know. I love that you love to play this game.
This is either Tony Awards categories that do not exist anymore. They've discontinued them. Or it's categories that other awards ceremonies have that we think the Tony should have.
Yeah.
At some point. So let's start with a category that was only around for like a year or so, and that is the author of a play.
Yeah.
It used to be that there was a best play and then a best playwright, and they didn't necessarily do the same thing.
Well, because you could have the play could be the production, right?
Right.
It could be like a really crappy play, but man, this production is amazing. But or a really crappy production, and then you're like, this is some of the best written material I've ever witnessed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like Neil Simon won best author. But he did for The Odd Couple, but he didn't win Best Play for The Odd Couple. How
Fun
funny
fact.
Is that?
The Subject was Roses?
I think it was The Subject
How
was Roses.
Dear,
yeah. Frank Gilroy.
So good. I remember doing scenes from that in my scene study class.
Oh,
Subject
really?
Was Roses. Martin Sheen was in that, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Martin Sheen played the son originally, and then I saw him do it in L.A. where he was playing the dad.
Oh.
Because he came full circle.
Fun fact.
So who was the best author of a play this year? Not necessarily the best play, per se, but best author.
I mean, usually there's more of a separation for me, but this year it's Harry Potter, I think, with Jack Thorne. And I think J.K. Rowling should be acknowledged as well for having written the source material.
She wrote the source material, but she did not actually write the play.
No, it's weird because the play is credited as like by Jack Thorne with input from J.K. Rowling and John Tiffany, who was also the director.
Mm.
But Jack Thorne was the only one nominated for the Tony. So...
Interesting, interesting.
I've also heard, I mean, I haven't seen it, so it's hard to say, but I've read a lot with the children. I hear that Lucy Kirkwood is quite a talent. So I wish I saw that, but I did not.
So I picked, based on the plays that I saw,
and
I did not see Harry Potter, and I did not see Farinelli and the King. So I went with John Leguizamo for Latin History for Morons.
That's nice, yeah.
So I thought he deserved the best authorship of this year. Okay, this is one that... I know that you're an advocate for, because you want to see this come in to the Tony Awards, and I think we all do, and that's either Best Conductor or Music Director, which has never really been acknowledged.
No, it isn't, and it was 1964, 65 was the last year, the year after Don Pippin won it.
Yeah, I think
it was,
our former guest Don Pippin won one, and then they got rid of it. So who do we want to have win this award?
I have a pretty strong opinion about this one.
Here he goes.
We'll have an honorable mention, which is Ted Sperling from My Fair Lady.
That was my pick, actually, is Ted.
But
he was a former guest with
Ted
us.
Ted was a guest, yeah.
He's my honorable mention. My award, though, would be Julie McBride for SpongeBob SquarePants.
Brian Hopkins.
She does more in that show.
She definitely is a character in the show.
Oh, she's a character in the show.
She has a full-on feature.
Oh, my God.
Not only is she conducting, but she's got the percussionist over there on stage, you know, right? And then she's down there. And you're right. That is, it's, and she has to... She has to conduct 17 different composers' scores.
Yes. Yep. And now you said she's honorable mention?
No, she's my award.
Oh, she's my award.
Ted Sperling would have been my honorable mention.
Ted.
Yeah. Oh, I said Ted because he had a full orchestra. Also, and you get a full orchestra with that My Fair Lady, which is pretty awesome and epic, you know. And
when Julie came out before the show, because they're doing like the pre-show music, and she's standing there like playing her little tambourine or whatever, I was like, oh, who's this person?
I know. Oh,
and then
actor.
She gets in the pit, and I was like, oh,
and she's like dancing.
Yeah.
She's as much a reason why everyone's excited and hyped in that theater, because you're looking at the only person that's alive on stage, and she is living her best life while she's conducting, and I think it's I love it. It reminds me of Kim Grigsby when she did Full Monty year way back.
Yeah.
You would see her like dancing in the pit.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Some people didn't
what
like
happened
that,
to
but
her?
I like that.
Because there was a while where she was doing so much.
Everything. Spring Awakening. Remember Spring Awakening? She was just sitting on with the band, just like jamming.
she didn't do anything. She was just jamming.
Oh, I mean, she did a lot, but anyway, I think it's hard to quantify. What does a music director do? I think that's part of the reason why this category is tough, because it's like, what is it, just because it's a good orchestra? What the music director really does happens a lot in rehearsals.
Well, maybe
that's the main job, really.
But if they figured out with sound design that only a small percentage of people are going to vote that are qualified, why can't we do this for music directors?
I firmly agree. The music director is such a major part of it. If the director gets a credit, I mean, why? The music director is the person who stays with the show for the whole run. I mean, whatever.
No, I agree. So, so you and I are with Julie. You're with Ted. That's awesome. Newcomer for a play, we got to pick one male and one female, or one identifying male, one identifying female for best newcomer in a play.
Can they be nominated for a Tony Award?
I think so. I don't think there's anything
that says they
can.
It's just they're making their Broadway debut.
They're making their Broadway debut. Okay. I know who I picked. Who did you pick? Who did you guys pick?
Denise Goh.
Oh, so you're doing best actress, Denise Goh.
I did best actress first.
Okay, and Angels in America.
Yes.
I did nominations again, like I did last year.
Oh, you nominated people. Who were your nominees?
Weirdly, it resembles the Tony category. I did Susan Brown for Angels in America, Noma Dumezwini for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Denise Gao for Angels in America, Poppy Miller for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. She plays Ginny Weasley, grown up, and Amy Schumer for Meteor Shower.
Oh, nice.
With an honorable mention, I didn't see Children of a Lesser God, but I hear Lauren Ridloff is, like, incredible.
She's mine.
But I didn't see it, so I didn't want to pick her.
Yeah.
So mine that I saw would be Denise as well.
Oh, great.
But I hear that Lauren's incredible, and I'm excited to see Children of a Lesser God this coming week, hopefully.
Her performance is marvelous.
Yeah. She's a deaf actress, yes?
Yeah. She is deaf.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
She
yes.
is deaf.
Stunning. Beautiful.
Very stunning. Yeah. Mm. Really stunning. There's a lot in that cast, which is really fantastic. Unfortunately, the production doesn't live up, I think, to their talents, per se. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to say for best actress? Denise Goh?
Yes.
Goh? Okay, great. Yeah. I did Lauren Ridloff from Children of a Lesser God. Okay. Best newcomer in a play, male, identifies as a male. It is who?
Mine's silly. Mine is silly. But yes, Dean Davies, the countertenor from Farinelli and the King. Mm-hmm. He's a world-class tenor, a countertenor, so he sings in his head voice. It was a great opportunity to hear an amazing voice, and he's acting. What happens is he comes out as the, because it's about
Castrati.
Castrati, yeah, and so he's the last of the great, you know, Castrati, and he, it's a true story, he was with the king for years and years and years. So, but when the actor who's playing him, he doesn't sing the part, he acts the part, and then when the king wants him to sing, the actor comes out and sings for the other actor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's really quite stunning, because all of a sudden you hear the voice, and then Davies, and then there was an alternate as well, and I forget his name, but it was stunning. I thought it was beautiful because you have two actors acting at the same time, and I really enjoyed that part.
Nicely done. Yeah. Nicely done. I picked Austin Butler from The Iceman Cometh.
Okay. Oh!
Now, he was on a kids' show? He was on some...
Kids Incorporated?
No, he was on some Nickelodeon show. And I had no idea who he was, but this guy comes out, and he's so fantastic. And I'm like, oh, he must be some Yale.
Right, like went to Juilliard.
Yeah, he's something like... Oh, he was on... I know this. Oh, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
Oh, it's like a spinoff of High School Musical.
Jeez. Yeah.
Good for you.
So he's a Disney kid. He's marvelous in this show.
Oh, George C. Wolfe put him in it. I mean, has to be.
So you sit there and I'm like, you know, he's probably something like Yale or NYU, Juilliard kid. No, he's a Disney Channel actor.
Good job.
So great job for Austin Butler on your Broadway debut. Come back, Austin.
Yeah.
I didn't have nominees for this one. I just had one. I had Anthony Boyle for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Nice.
He's so fantastic.
Let's talk about newcomers in a play or musical, male, female identifying. We have best newcomer male.
Oh, in a musical now.
Yeah, no, in a musical. I know mine.
Ethan Slater. Yeah, what a tour de force.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Jeez, my God. How does he... I don't know how he does it.
I had four nominees here.
Who'd you have?
And Ethan Slater was one of them. I had Ariel Stachel for A Band's Visit. Mm-hmm. Alex Newell.
Once Upon a Time. He was my runner-up.
Yes. And Henry Haddon Payton for My Fair Lady.
Oh, good choices.
And honestly, all of them are fantastic. I think Alex Newell is so good in his limited time on stage. But Ethan Slater the fact that he just came to Broadway and was role. Like, let me just carry this entire show on my shoulders and be wildly charismatic as I do it. Okay, cool.
And when he, like, the voice, like, when the one song he, like, you really hits a high note and then he hits it even higher and it sounds good.
Well, he's stupid flexible, too.
Oh, my God. And he can dance. Yeah. And he's, like, rock climbing. I mean, like, good night.
Ethan, we love you. Yeah. For a female.
Haley Kilgore.
Haley Kilgore.
I had two nominees. She was one of them. The other one was, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Jalen Christine Lee Josie, who plays whale in SpongeBob.
Oh, SpongeBob. Oh.
She opened her mouth to sing.
The singing was amazing.
Well, I mean, like, she's not given, like, let's be real. She's not given book scenes to work with. Come on now. But when she opens her mouth to sing, I was like, can she have a solo song instead of doing a duet with
And she's
person?
Like 17 or 18. I
she's
mean,
17.
She's a child.
She's from Georgia. Amazing.
Yeah, Atlanta. She's
I was amazing. Like, oh, she's going to be a star.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Haley Kilgore for us from Once on This Island. Yes. And then
I'd pick Haley of the two, but yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
This is one that we was around for a little bit and then went away real fast. Stage technician.
Oh, early on, way in, back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, and they wouldn't even have nominees.
I forget the guy's name, what we talked about.
He won for Mr. President for props.
Yeah.
It was like Seymour.
It was like, yeah. Like,
Moskowitz or some name like that.
Right, like.
Who, like, you know, went up and accepted the Tony with a cigarette, like, hanging out of his
right.
mouth.
He's like, I got to get back to my poker game.
Who did y'all pick for this one? Stage technician or a tech element. What is this?
Well, it's funny because I did my little research on this and I wanted to give a shout out to Mike Dobson, who is the Foley artist for SpongeBob SquarePants. He's not a stage technician. I know. He's not even in that union. And then I realized he's nominated. So then I was like, well, that get rid of that. But then I just wanted to give a shout out to the stage technicians over at the old Circle in the Square Theater who have to deal with that
sand.
All day long.
Good for them.
Not that they should be rewarded for that. I really don't have anyone better than that.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is kind of weird. I don't know where this would fall into it, but I said Michael Curry, and he's the gentleman who designed the Frozen puppets.
Oh, Sven.
Yeah, who designed Sven.
That is the one thing in Frozen that is just really
fantastic. So I gave it to him.
Yeah.
For his puppetry design.
Yeah. I was really into Sven.
Yeah, Sven was great.
I was really into that.
It's really a beautiful puppet.
Yeah.
Really beautiful puppet.
Actually, and the guy, one of the two guys who plays that role, went to my dance studio that I used to go to when I was growing up.
Who's that?
I don't remember his name.
But you know that you just recognize him by the headshot.
Calvin Academy of Dance. Well, I remember she, the woman who ran it, she contacted me and she was like, oh, he was blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God.
That's good for him.
Anyway, so I did one for a play and one for a musical. My play was Harry Potter and the Cursed Child because it's mind-boggling. I can't wait for you guys to see it, because it's mind-boggling what they do, and I'm sure keeping track of everything is just ridiculous. The amount of stage crossing that happens. My musical was SpongeBob, actually.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of work there that was really, really, like, just kind of cool.
Yeah.
I did have an honorable mention for My Fair Lady, because there's this one scene, in Poor Professor Higgins. Eliza runs off stage and does costume changes, but you know that she is, the way they do the set, it's a moving set piece and she can't actually run into the wings to do the quick changes.
So her dresser is there, like.
Like, it's sort of a rotating set.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It's you can't ever actually see them, but you know.
Shout out to those dressers
there.
That are helping that costume.
I was like, girl,
dressers,
get it.
We should give a shout out to all dressers back.
Yes.
I mean, everyone backstage, but dressers, man, they keep a show moving. Quick change. Bless them. Yeah, good one. That was a good one. Yeah.
We're going to go to ensemble now. Best ensemble for a play or best ensemble and best ensemble for a musical.
I have questions.
Yes, because... Go ahead.
This is like when we talked about it on our previous podcast. Like, if there was an Ensemble Tony Award, does it mean, like, ensemble, like, the chorus? Mm-hmm. Or does it mean, like, ensemble of the piece? Like, it's everyone's... Because now there's musicals like Come From Away. They would win the ensemble. I mean, that is, like, an ensemble piece.
Correct.
So, I don't know. My question is, what does that mean?
So, very, very quickly, if you haven't listened to a previous episode, Actors Equity is petitioning the Tony Awards to have a Best Ensemble Tony Award, but nobody knows exactly what that means yet.
I'm like a
little,
what's
the problem? There's a lot of gray area, because I know with the Drama Desk Awards, they do the Best Ensemble Award, and it's a not nominated award. They just pick ensembles, and everyone in the cast gets an award, and then as a result, everyone in the cast is deemed ineligible for an individual award at the Drama Desks.
Fascinating.
So if, let's say, you know, Angels in America was nominated for a Drama Desk or was given the Best Ensemble Award at the Drama Desks, none of those actors be nominated for Best Actor or Actress.
Yeah, no, that's a trouble. That's
and there's a lot of gray area, and I think that's sort of...
That's intense, guys.
It sucks, yeah.
Okay. So, but if we were going to go for a play that wins Best Ensemble...
My four nominees were Angels in America, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Three Tall Women, and Travesties. Three Tall Women, obviously, you know, this is an example of what you're calling ensemble. It's a three-person play.
Right.
Glenda Jackson's nominated in the leading category. Truthfully, all three of those roles are of equal size. And the way they play off of each other is so excellent. Travesties, total. There's one lead, yes, but it really is an ensemble piece. And then the other two, of course, Angels and Harry Potter, are complete ensemble pieces. I'd probably give it to Angels in America, because I wasn't really blown away by individual performances per se, except for one, which was Denise. I think everyone just worked really well together, had a good chemistry.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Kev?
I didn't see enough of them to really be able to have an opinion. Angels in America, I was just knowing the play, I would say that one because it's just so epic.
I threw mine to the Iceman Cometh.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yes, of course.
They're
there the whole time, right? I mean, they're just like...
This first scene, it's the bar, and for 45 minutes, the entire cast is on stage, but they're all asleep at the bar while two characters have a conversation. And so all of these actors, I'm like, God damn, you guys are really giving it. Because they're all like sitting with their necks down for 45 minutes sleeping. I'm like,
gosh,
your backs must be killer. So anyway, I did the Iceman Cometh because I applaud their...
Yeah, just totally. Sleeping acting.
But, I mean, that's hard,
sleep
man.
Acting.
Also, best Tony Award for cast chiropractor.
Cast chiropractor. you go see this show, and you're like, God bless him.
Oh, my God, somebody move.
A musical. Best ensemble of a musical.
A musical.
I have two that I would consider.
Uh-huh.
I have Band's Visit and Once on This Island.
I did. You're going to think up.
How did I make Once on This Island off of this list?
The show, it's like... You
it's
know,
like literally no ensemble, an ensemble so piece. Somehow like, I left it off. Oh, I know why I left it off.
This is going to be controversial, but for sentimental reasons.
Oh, God.
I did Margaritaville.
Wait, it's on my list!
Is it really?
Yes! Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, that's why I left
I really applaud the fact that they have these... there's a gay couple in the ensemble that's just with everybody else, and nobody makes any mention of it, and I applaud that.
So it's funny Rob, because my four nominees are The Band's Visit, My Fair Lady, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Escape to Margaritaville.
I cannot believe you guys.
Because mine is more of a joke, but I do appreciate the gay couple, but
totally.
More importantly...
It had nothing to do with the ensemble.
I appreciate, and I said this last year when I picked Cats for this category. I appreciate an ensemble of people, especially dancers, who are in a show that is just so terrible, and they... plaster that smile on for the entire 2.5 hours, and they dance their asses off, and they make you believe they are having the best time.
I'll give you that. I definitely, yeah. That
and I
sense.
Was like, I props to you guys. Mm-hmm. Props to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then finally, our last one is best song. Best song.
The old best song. Mm-hmm. Which I like. I would love the idea of a best song for a Same. Tony sees me. And I think that's a really cool idea.
Me too.
Much more than ensemble, to be honest.
I was very excited because I just had lunch with one of our former guests, Peter Felicia.
Oh.
And he told me what his pick was for best song. And I was like, oh my God, I have the same pick as well.
Okay.
So I felt a little cool, but that's it.
What is it? It's going to be from the band's visit.
It is from the band's visit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which
one?
The Beat of Your Heart.
Oh, that's not on my list.
That is so, that's exactly what, that's, yes.
Is it yours too?
Yes. I was going to put Omar Sharif, but then I was like, no, it's like, I love the beat. It's true. I mean, that song is exactly what it is.
Which one is Beat of Your Heart? Because now I'm not remembering.
Love Starts on a Downbeat.
It's the one where they're at the dinner and he's
they
like,
played
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want to hold your hand.
Yeah. Okay. I love that.
So, okay.
That
I have I, on my list of five.
Yes, you
Omar Sharif is on my list, but it's not what I would give the award to. I also have "Answer Me" from the band's visit, which is the last song on the show.
Very good.
Yeah, here my prayer. Yeah, beautiful.
I have from Mean Girls. I have "Sexy," which I think is hilarious.
Which is the Halloween number.
The Halloween number. Yeah, Karen's number.
It's very fun.
I also have "Stop" from Mean Girls, which, while sort of a weird number in context of the show, I just think it's a funny number, and the lyrics are. It's one of the few songs in Mean Girls where the lyrics are actually clever. Mm. But the one I'd give the award to is from the band's visit, but it's "Welcome to Nowhere," because I just think it's such a great way to start, like to introduce.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
fully agree.
Concept.
Yeah. Fully
it's
agree.
Funny as anything. I
You're
died.
Sleeping and the waiting. There's nothing happening. Won't something happen?
I'm just kidding. That's what my friend says. I love it. I love the score. I love that song.
The idea of like "Bete Tichva" with a beat, like it's just so funny to me.
I will say I did throw in there just a simple "Sponge," the "Panic at the Disco" song from SpongeBob. I enjoyed some of those songs. I really do. And "Bikini Bottom," I really like. But as a song, like. I'm with the
Beat of Your Heart.
I didn't even think about that one. I'll have to go back and listen.
It's the one back to over and over again.
Me too.
Recording.
God bless David Yazbek. So that's our forgotten categories list on our favorite things. If you've got any suggestions, throw them our way. Watch the Tony Awards June 10th on CBS.
Let us know what you think.
Please. And thanks again to Brian for popping by.
Oh my God, you're so welcome.
Yay.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I can't wait for next year when it's our fourth year and we're discussing Hadestown and Tootsie and Beetlejuice.
And the prom.
And the prom.
Because we talked about the prom last year. But
yes.
It delayed. But
it's on its way.
We just talked to Beth Level about it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think we're all going to be very
can't
happy.
Wait.
All right. I say that now, but I also said that last year. All right.
Yeah, it's fun.
Happy Tonys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.